Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Hello, and as our wonderful announcer guy just said, I'm Doug Joseph, pastor of Christian Apostolic Church, and we want to welcome you to this broadcast of The Voice of Truth. Today we're going to be talking to you about five dimensions of good public relations for churches. And to all of you out there who are Bible-believing Christians, we want to talk to you about some ways that you can help your church to do a better job of good PR. We want to help your church be at the forefront in your community. But before we get into that lesson, we've got some wonderful music for you by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. We're going to play a couple of songs back to back, so to speak. I will squeeze a little word about our church in between those two songs. And let me also ask you to hold us up in prayer. We'll be departing a couple of days from now, this coming Tuesday, for a week-long trip. It's a mission trip to the Metro St. Louis, Missouri area. We'll be doing street evangelism in downtown St. Louis, and we'll be watching as converts are filled with the Spirit of God and baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be an awesome time. Can you imagine getting to go on a mission trip in your own backyard, so to speak, not having to leave America, a domestic mission trip? It's going to be wonderful. While we're there, we'll get to see the St. Louis Arch and some wonderful sights there, and we're looking forward to it. Just a little bit of interesting information to give you, we'll be traveling there on our motorcycles. Apostolic, one God, Jesus name, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled motorcycle riders from a ministry group called the Azusa Street Riders will be riding their motorcycles from all over the United States and gathering in St. Louis. So we ask you to pray for safe traveling conditions. And now let's enjoy that great music by Phillips, Craig, and Dean.
Living all When you listen to the Bible instead of religion, there's only one God, and He's not a man. He's spirit, bodiless, boundless, invisible, timeless, unchanging. But you read that God had a timeless plan to come as a man, to die as punishment for the sins of the world. God's promised Messiah is both man and God. As God, no beginning, but as a man, Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Spirit of God. As God, can't die, but as man, Jesus died on the cross, is resurrected, and alive today. And He's coming back. You disagree with the Greek philosophy of three God persons as distinct, self-aware beings. There's just God and God's humanity. The downside is being frowned on for being unorthodox. But there is a church where you won't get frowns. Christian Apostolic Church, where oneness, Pentecostal, and holiness. Learn more on the web at cac.us.com.
We want to take a brief look at five little concepts that could help your church with regard to good public relations. We want to help you put your church to the forefront in your community. To that end, we want to discuss five dimensions of good public relations for churches. Here they are: consistency, colors, clarity, class, and community. Now, while I'm not a professional at public relations, God has blessed me to read a few good books here and there and to be exposed to some awesome professionals who were highly trained and wonderfully adept at good public relations. Some of the simplest and most necessary concepts rubbed off. And these five little concepts are easy to grasp and to implement. They're so basic and so rooted in common sense that when you hear them, it'll just make you want to say, duh. And yet, if we're not really thinking about it, we can violate these simple rules. We hope these concepts help your church as much as they have helped ours. Consistency. For many, many years, a plaque was displayed in the North Charleston Apostolic Church, where Bishop Billy Cole was the senior pastor. The plaque said simply, consistency. It reminded us of the old saying, consistency, thou art a jewel. Of course, we're all quick to point out that the scripture says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And we all realize that when one starts living for God, he needs to be consistent. So why don't we more often practice this same biblical principle in matters of advertising and PR? The worst thing that a church can do is repeatedly tear down its PR foundation and start from scratch over and over. Let's think about some actions that are detrimental to a local church's PR foundation and consider which behaviors cannot be helped and which can and should be avoided in most cases. Change of pastor, change of church location, change of church name, change of church doctrine, change of church logo. The list could go on and on, but you begin to get the idea. All of these things are detrimental to a local church's PR foundation. A church should change pastor only when necessary. Now, sometimes a death or a change of calling makes this change inevitable. A new pastor usually lacks the many connections, associations, friendships, and experiences that the former pastor benefited from. This often equates to reducing the local church's PR foundation to rubble and starting over. Anything a new pastor can do to minimize the potential damage to the church's PR foundation would be a very wise move. Don't tear down any fences until you learn why they were built, and ask around before building new ones. Don't think that you must change the church's name or logo or letterhead or signage or advertising scheme just to establish your personal identity as the new pastor. If you are that insecure, you probably should not be pastoring. Furthermore, such acts usually destroy years of work and thousands of dollars worth of PR investment. If changes are needed, fine, but don't just change for the sake of changing. A church should change its location only when necessary or clearly beneficial, sometimes due to growth, which is a good problem, or leasing troubles, a bad problem. Sometimes a change of venue is inevitable. But remember, unless you're very careful, not everyone who knew where you were will automatically know where you will be. While the ideal move is to get a good location, 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 where lots of traffic will see your church and realize its presence, sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. Regardless, it's never a good idea to relocate without letting all those former guests, members, and distant acquaintances know just where you're moving to. Surely you are using visitor cards and/or altar cards and keeping up a database of all those names and addresses, right? It's a bit difficult to let people know anything without such a database. A church should change name only when necessary or clearly beneficial. Sometimes a new pastor is handed an old name like John Michael Higginbotham Memorial United Pentecostal Church. A change of name would be beneficial. If your church moves from one neighborhood to another and your name formerly was tied to that area, for instance, if the name of the neighborhood was part of the church's name, then a name change might be in order. Consider not making the same mistake again. A really good church name should be short, easy to spell, easy to remember, and should offer a connotation of family, power, salvation, or doctrine, such that the name alone makes people want to belong. Once you get a good name, stick with it. Bite the bullet. Be consistent for the long haul. Because every time a church changes its name, it reduces its PR foundation to rubble, and you start all over again. A church should change its doctrine only when it finds itself to be in error. Thus, the only doctrinal moves are toward truth and never away from truth. Churches that let down on their holiness standard or change their fundamental doctrine away from truth quickly discover that they were mistaken in thinking that it would bring in a big crowd. The opposite usually happens in short order. God blesses churches and groups who are moving toward truth. A curse is upon churches and groups who are moving away from truth. It's not so much about where you are as which way you're headed. That other church with less truth might have a bigger crowd with supposedly more anointing, and one might think we could get the big crowd too by switching to the other church's doctrine. And that's a big mistake. This is not to mention that changing your fundamental doctrine reduces your PR foundation to rubble and forces you to start all over. Folks who thought they knew who you were will realize they don't know you at all. You'll look like a chameleon, and the distrust that that engenders is not good for PR. A church should change logo only when necessary or clearly beneficial. The word logo is derived from an old Greek word, logos. It's interesting to consider that Jesus Christ is the Logos made flesh, the Word of God made flesh. See John 1 verse 1 and John 1 verse 14. The Logos of God is the thought or intent or plan or word of God. Before there was a Jesus in flesh, there was the Logos for Christ, the plan for Christ. Nothing of consequence can be built without a plan. God planned for His church, and He is building His church according to His plan. Perfect plans never require changing. Imperfect plans do. The more imperfect your plan, the more often change is needed. If you have done a poor job in planning your church's logo and PR scheme, then you will often regret the lack of work, the lack of monetary investment and professional help, and the lack of planning. Thus, you will find yourself dumping your old logo and PR look to change to some new logo. Every time you change your church logo and letterhead and envelopes, you are sorely damaging your PR foundation, kind of starting over. A good logo should have clean lines, simple imagery. It should convey competence, progressiveness, stability, and trustworthiness. Now, this next statement is going to be blunt but true. If you are not a professional designer, it's highly likely that you are neither qualified nor capable of designing your logo. Get some help. If you cannot afford help, then go without a logo and save your money until you can afford some help. A professional agency might charge you a high price to set you up, but you get what you pay for. Once you make up your mind to hire some help, don't swallow the cat and choke on its tail. Make your investment but once, soundly, solidly, and with serious intentions of sticking with it for the long haul. If you hire a designer, don't let him convince you to accept something on which you are not absolutely sure. You must really be keen on the final logo choice, because the ideal path is to be married, so to speak, to that logo for the long haul. Can any of you remember how many years it's been since AT&T settled on the globe with the stripes? Can you remember how many years it's been since McDonald's settled on the golden arches? Do you know why? It's because they're smart. Get a good thing and stick with it for the long haul. Changing your church logo often is just poor, poor PR work. Colors. Carefully pick your colors and stay with them. When we say colors, we mean literal colors as well as your overall look. And this includes font choices, aspect ratios, design implementations. There should be some trademark elements that appear on everything your church sends out. These trademark elements should always appear in character, meaning you should always use the same carefully chosen fonts for your church name and address. Your logo and text should always be set in the same carefully chosen colors whenever you spring for color documents in your printing cost. The location of the footer and header with the trademark elements should be consistent no matter what the given document is intended for. You should have several different configurations with carefully selected aspect ratios, such as wide, which is also known as landscape mode, and tall, which is also known as portrait mode. With regard to the relationship of your church name, address, and logo to each other. When someone looks at your letterhead, they should note the same identifying trademark elements as seen on your business cards, envelopes, church signage, invitations, revival flyers, tracts, CDs, web pages, billboards, etc. Make sure that all the different configurations have all the crucial bits of info, such as address, email, website, and phone. Choice of color matters more than you think. Colors affect humans in powerful ways. Certain colors evoke certain moods or emotions. Blue evokes peace and calm. Restaurants never want customers totally peaceful and calm because folks wouldn't eat as much. That's one reason why restaurants seldom use blue plates and decorum. Fast food places use yellow and red signage because yellow is the easiest color for the human eye to see, and red is a color that evokes aggression and action. Based on this, one may think that blue is a good main color for a church's sanctuary carpet or decorum. Not necessarily. It's good for signage, yes, but it's not a given that it's a good main color in your decorum. We advocate blue on signage, flyers, tracts, and handouts because it evokes peace, which we have and the world wants. But hundreds or thousands of square feet of blue carpet might make your church members so docile that you could not get worship for God out of the crowd with real dynamite. Red carpet might be overreaching or overreacting in the other direction. Instead of just getting demonstrative worship, you might also aggravate children to the point of fistfights. I'm not joking. We once witnessed a phenomenon regarding carpet color that was amazing. Many years ago, when I was young, we taught a Sunday school class in a room with carpet containing lots of red. In spite of good discipline, the aggression in the kids was alarming. Then we saw firsthand the marked change in their behavior when the old brownish red carpet was replaced with new carpet with blue overtones. A huge difference in behavior was caused by a simple change in the carpet's color. It was so stark and dramatic a difference that it astounded us. So, what makes a good color for trim, tracks, and letterhead need not be implemented on walls and floors of a sanctuary, although perhaps perfect for Sunday school rooms. We recommend getting some good books on color or consulting with a good designer. Clarity. You can't say everything in one tract. If you say too much, none of your many messages will be read at all. For each advertisement or PR effort, pick one important message that you want to convey and stick with it. Say it until it gets through. Don't try to convey everything about your church in every single document you publish. Such would be overkill and wasted paper or wasted money. Besides, what are your Bible study nights and services for? Class. Everything you do for your church should represent Jesus Christ with excellence in every way. Every PR effort should be rooted in excellence from start to completion. Don't send out anything from your church, not even an email, without carefully spell-checking it and having someone besides the author to proofread it carefully. For heaven's sake, never entrust all your PR efforts to that animated, upbeat, enthusiastic brother who never finished high school and who has lots of get-up-and-go but also has very poor grammar and poor spelling habits. In this generation, you cannot afford to have your church branded as a bunch of ignorant hicks. If it's not right, don't let it by. Do everything with class. Community. Don't be guilty of never doing anything with, for, or about your community. Could there be any worse mistake for the church of the Lord? Community is who we're trying to save, affect, reach, impact, and love. It's sad to say, but some churches get so wrapped up inwardly that they don't do anything during a given calendar year that is for and about the community. For starters, involve your community in your church's accomplishments. Did you install a new pastor? Make your community part of the celebration. Send out a press release to newspapers and media outlets, letting them know about the change and offering the community a chance to feel good that their town and people attracted such a qualified pastor. Having a revival, the goal is to reach the community, right? Then it's time for another press release. We cannot say enough about press releases. If you miss everything we've said, remember this. Your local news media outlets and your local newspapers are scouring the bushes looking for local news. Press releases are readily received by all of them, and press releases will very often result in free airtime and free ink for your church. And this is going to sound amazing if you never knew it, but it's true. If you write well, then every press release is an opportunity for you to write your own PR statements and have your articles published community-wide for free. During our time pastoring in Clarksburg, West Virginia, we've been featured on news stations and newspapers repeatedly. Most of the time, we got to write our own send-up simply because we wrote well and submitted press releases. At other times, our efforts for the community, conveyed by means of a press release, caused the media to come out and interview us. The media people have chased us down to write articles on what we were doing, and have chased us down to film us for the evening TV news, not once, but repeatedly. And when you think PR, don't just think public relations, also think press releases. Second, it's crucial to do important things for and with your community. Don't just sit there feeling powerless and thinking, why doesn't somebody do something about this? Who is somebody? You are somebody. Get up. Get to work. Plan. Organize. Take leadership and involve your community. For example, we once did a project before and during the war to liberate Iraq to bring down Saddam Hussein. Our community wanted, needed, and loved the opportunity that we provided for them to stand up for the troops and publicly profess whatever Christian faith they held, demonstrated in public prayer for the soldiers. Community prayer meetings were held, open to the public, open to people of all faiths. One was held at the county courthouse, another inside a large mall. The turnout was tremendous. The troops were blessed with prayer. News media outlets helped us at no charge. This is but one example of what we mean when we say community. We needn't agree with everyone on doctrinal issues in order to simply provide the community an opportunity to stand up for Christ in the streets of town. Everyone has a right to pray, and especially, why not pray for our troops who are laying their lives on the line for us? Even lost folks, sinners, we gave them such an opportunity and they took it. Now, a lot of them know we're here, whereas before they did not. Now that's good PR by anyone's definition. Well, that's about all the time we have for now, but we hope you'll join us again next week. God bless you. In Jesus' name is our prayer.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.